Hey, how's it going? I'm Andy Jones, and this is episode 147 of the Photography Side Hustle podcast. I hope you had a great week and you're taking lots of photos. I'm in the middle of putting a Lightroom course together, and I have to say, I absolutely hate myself in videos. I'm actually considering filming myself like Wilson, the next door neighbor from Tool Time. Hopefully I can get over it and get on with the course and finish it. It's not easy. Okay, so this week's episode is 6 tips for a stronger business in 2024. So let's start with build a collection of lenses, not cameras. I'm including this because a lot of people are asking me whether a camera body is good enough, and very few are asking about lenses. In fact, none at all at the moment. In fact, I had 6 people ask me this week about camera bodies. So if you want to upgrade your entry-level equipment, start with the lens. A pro lens will greatly improve what your current camera body produces. A camera body captures the light that comes in through the lens. And if that lens allows you to use f2.8 or better, like 1.8, 1.4, or even 1.2, then the images will be amazing. That is where the quality is in these lenses. Just the fact that they can shoot wide open and you don't need as much light to get a picture. When you're starting out, put the majority of your money into good quality pro lenses. Used, new, it makes no difference, as long as they are pro quality. So think about what lengths of lens you need. Then you can start thinking about upgrading your camera body. It's no good having a Nikon entry-level camera with a kit lens on it and going over to, say, Sony and buying a better quality body with another kit lens, because you're going to get pretty much the same results. You're much better keeping the Nikon and putting decent Nikon glass on it and going on from there. Change over to Sony or whatever you want to shoot at a later date, but the simplest way to upgrade your equipment so it will make a difference to your photos is keep the body you've got and just buy good quality glass for it. Now, I always tell people to buy a 50mm 1.8 lens. That's mainly for Nikon and Canon users. Sony have them, but I don't know how much theirs are because I don't really look into them much. Not sure about Fuji either. But generally, a 50mm 1.8 lens is now around $200 to $250 if it's Nikon, less than $200 if it's a Canon. You can buy used ones for $100 or less. The difference in your photos, just by using a 50mm 1.8 Nifty 50 lens, will blow you away. They are incredible compared with kit lenses. You can get creative with them. They're beautiful little lenses. So that is my advice to you. If you're going to upgrade, start off with a 50mm 1.8 for your camera body that you've got now and see how you like it. Okay, next. Always over-deliver. Now, it doesn't matter what you shoot. Give the customer more than they expected. This week, I heard a few photographers talk about customers asking for all the other images that they took at the shoot. They took around 400 photos during a branding session and delivered 25 images to the customer. The customer thinks the photographer's holding back photos and under-delivering. Now, it doesn't matter whether they are right or wrong, or you are right or wrong. The problem is the customer is unhappy. This is where communicating with the customer and setting out what you're going to do and what they will receive is crucial. Once both parties are happy with what's going to happen, then you sign a contract. If this has happened to you, try editing all the usable photos, not the ones where they've got their eyes closed or it's out of focus. Those you just ditch straight off. Some images may be duplicates. They might be just not quite right. Edit them anyway. Once you've edited the best images, just do a basic edit on all these other ones that you weren't going to give them. It won't take you long. Just do a basic edit. You can do it with sync or copy and paste. So you do the first one, copy all the settings you did on it and just go to the next one, or highlight all of them and just click paste. It's really simple to do. When you present them to the customer, say these are the best 25 images that we agreed on. Plus, I'm also including the other 130-ish or whatever it is, usable photos. I don't think that they're suitable for They're your best presentations, but if you need them for anything, they're there. It doesn't do you any harm, and it really makes them feel better. And I will say that this problem only seems to happen to photographers who only offer digital files. People that offer prints don't get this kind of problem because the person knows they're going to be buying one, two, or three images printed. Giving away your digital files, people just think they get everything. It's not good. So really think about what you're going to do. Another way to over-deliver is with delivery times. Give yourself twice as long as you think you're going to take, then surprise the customer by delivering them early. It's just a small thing, but you are not upsetting the customer in any way. You are impressing them. The only way to get referrals is to impress your customers. Referrals make getting bookings way easier. And if you don't have any referrals and people are saying bad things about you, you just won't get any bookings at all. So look after your customers. Always over-deliver. Okay, next. Separate your niches or niches. If you shoot different types of photography, keep them separate. If you shoot weddings and family portraits, divide your website into two parts. Don't have the different types of images on the same page. When someone is looking for a wedding photographer, they want to see photos of a bride and groom on the big day, not somebody's grandmother sitting in a chair. Splitting your website in this case is acceptable because it's similar. Family portraits, weddings, I wouldn't worry too much about it, but do not put the different types of images on the same page. Have your homepage with the option of going to weddings or family portraits, but do not have pictures intermingled. Keep them separate. Okay, so let's say you're trying to build a portrait business, but to pay the bills, you've been shooting real estate. Now, in this case, I would have two separate websites. Keep them totally separate. Your two sets of customers don't need to know about all your other stuff that you're doing. It shouldn't be of any interest to them. It's better to be seen as committed to the type of photography that you're offering. You need to be an authority figure, not a jack of all trades. So two separate websites if you're doing something like that. Next, editing. Now, I'm not talking about doing simple, basic edits here. I'm talking about editing every aspect of the image. When you look at top portrait photographers, their images are stunning. The eyes are sharp and vibrant. The skin is soft and smooth, and the background is soft and out of focus. In fact, everything looks perfect. Now, that image didn't come out of the camera like that. It took time and a lot of effort to produce. Every type of photography can benefit from going that extra step when editing. It's the one thing that can place you head and shoulders above your competition. If you can produce photos that stand out from your competitors' work, then you will get more bookings than they will, and you'll be able to charge more for them as well. Your skill in editing can put you at the top of the ladder where the big money is. It really is that important. You need to improve your editing just to get up there, to leapfrog all these other people that are doing the same kind of work as you. Next, build a website to control your market. I don't mean your business website. I'm talking about another website that you put together that helps people get information about your niche and other businesses related to your niche or niche. Now, I've mentioned this guy before in past episodes. Unfortunately, I've forgotten his name, but he is in Western Australia. If you know who I'm talking about, please let me know. Send me a message and I'll make sure that I add his name to whatever I put out there. He's a wedding photographer in a town that gets lots of couples going there to get married, like a destination kind of wedding place. So he made a website that did reviews on all the wedding and reception venues. Each venue had its own page with a complimentary review, and at the bottom of each page, there is a contact form. When the form is filled in by the customer, it goes to the photographer, not to the venue. He then contacts the venue and gives them the inquiry. He also contacts the customer and offers his services to them. The venues, when asked by any couples in the future, are always going to refer him above all the other photographers because he's the guy that gets them more business. which is the way he does it. It's just genius. It's, I just love what he did there. It's so good. So think about your niche. How can you do something similar? Like, is your town known as a beach resort, or is it somewhere in the mountains where snowboarders go, or, you know, is it a wine area? Think about it, and what businesses can you promote and take bookings on their behalf? It's not for everyone, but if you can figure it out, it can be a massive moneymaker, and you will corner the market in your area. Okay, last but not least, start using flash. Now, using a flash is going to revolutionize your photography. On camera or off camera, it really doesn't matter. Your photos will improve. Instead of doing a family shoot on a sunny afternoon and all your subjects have harsh shadows across the face, control the light with a flash. A lot of people think harshly lit photos when they think of flash photography, but it doesn't have to be like that. Don't think of sunlight plus the extra light from the flash. The trick is to change the settings so the subject is underexposed. Then you turn your flash on and gradually increase the amount of power the flash is putting out until the subject is well lit. If you do that, you have just controlled the light. Being able to produce portraits at any time of day where the subject is perfectly lit is a game changer. The quality of your work just took a giant leap forward. As I mentioned, it doesn't matter if the flash is on camera or off it. Off camera allows you to be a little bit more creative with the positioning of the light. I only use on camera flash at weddings and macro, but that's totally different. I'm not even going to get into that. On camera doesn't mean the flash is aimed at the subject. In fact, I never aim the light directly at the subject. The trick is to bounce the light off the walls around you and the ceiling. This lights up the area around the subject with softer light instead of just pointing it at them and blasting the face with light. I strongly believe that if you shoot portraits of any kind, you need to use a flash. If you do, the quality of your photos will speak for themselves. People prefer to buy nice things, things that look better than the competitions. Work on improving your quality and the bookings will follow. Okay, those are my 6 tips for a stronger business in 2024. If you need help with anything else, you can join the Facebook group and get all the answers you need. The transcript for this episode is in the show notes and also over at photographysidehustle.com/147. And while you're there, you can support the show and buy me a coffee. I'll be back next week with another episode. Talk to you soon. Bye.